Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. My title this morning for this topic is, Who is Jesus to Me? And I was thoroughly inspired by some of the songs we sing. I'd actually like to go back to 281. Can we turn to 281 and pick up some of those words that speak about our Savior Jesus and what He has done for us? The first verse speaks about, kind of like the Old Testament, what that Jesus speaks louder than the Old Testament. Let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us with His blood. He has brought us nigh to God. Let us love the Lord who bought us, pitied us when enemies, called us by His grace and taught us, gave us ears and gave us eyes. He has washed us with His blood. He presents our souls to God, our souls clean to God. Isn't that beautiful? Let us sing through fierce temptations, threatened hard to bear us down. For the Lord, our strong salvation, holds in view the conqueror's crown. He who washed us with His blood soon will bring us home to God. Let us praise and join the chorus of the saints enthroned on high. Here they trusted Him before us. Now their praises fill the sky. Thou hast washed us with Thy blood. Thou art worthy, Lamb of God. And I pray that we can all be in that host in heaven singing that song. God has washed us by His blood and drawn us near to God. In Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah speaks about the time when Jesus would come, and he uses these words, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this morning my title is very simple, Who is Jesus to you? And I'd like to challenge us each individually, sort of like to evaluate how we view Jesus, what He means to us, what He means to our lives. If you were to give names for Jesus based on your relationship with Him, what would those names be? Would they be these things we find here in Isaiah, that He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, our Father, Prince of Peace? And I have basically three things I'd like to talk about. Let's just start with prayer first, though. Father, thank You for being our Savior. Thank You for washing us with Your blood and presenting us to God clean and whole. I pray this morning as we look into Your Word that we can find its truths that can encourage our hearts to worship You more and to focus our lives more on You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is it important that I have a proper understanding of who Jesus is and how He relates to me? Because what we believe about Jesus correlates directly with what we expect of Him. Consider with me, if you're an employee at a company and your relationship to your employer. If your employer would be the kind of person who always has a thick schedule, like there's just, he can never reach around. And on top of that, he's struggling financially. There's just barely enough money to reach around. What do you think your attitude and your relationship to your employer would be? Would you be very likely to ask him for favors, maybe even just time off? Probably not, because your view of your employer would affect how you relate to him. And I'd like to draw the attention to that our view of Jesus directly affects how we relate to him, what we expect him to do for us, what we expect him to do for our lives. Our Lord, our Savior, he doesn't have any limited supply. I sort of gave that analogy of employer. If Jesus was our employer, he has all the resources at his hand, all the time in the world, and everything we need to live a full Christian life. The three topics I'd like to touch on is Jesus, Lord of my life, Jesus, helper and friend, and Jesus, the Savior of the world. Turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38. Mark chapter 8. Start reading in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'd like to speak a little bit about, is Jesus Lord of your life? The first thing I'd like to point out here in these verses is that I believe is important for Jesus to be Lord of your life is verse 34. It says, let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny himself? Thayer's definition, which would be for the Greek word, says to forget about oneself, lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. God calls us to live a holy life, to forgive those who trespass against us, love our neighbors as ourselves, and many more. What is the number one thing that stands in the way of us fulfilling that? Feedback. Self. Yes. Another one? Pride. Yes. What is the flesh? The self and the flesh are the two things I come. Self and our flesh comes in the way of us, you know, doing those things, you know, forgiving someone. We don't want to forgive someone because of ourself. In other words, we feel like we have rights, and so therefore we don't want to forgive someone. What does Jesus call us to do? He calls us to deny ourself, deny your rights, and then Jesus can be Lord of your life. The second point is take up his cross. This is something that I was having a little hard time putting my mind around it. I think in some ways, the context here is more applicable to places where you actually have to die for your faith. When Jesus says to take up your cross, for many people throughout the centuries, that literally meant taking on the reality that you could die for your faith. But for us, what does that mean for us? I guess the question I want us to think about. What does taking up our cross mean for us when we don't actually have to die for our faith? I believe what it is to take upon myself whatever lot God has given me to carry. That can be difficult, especially when my life is difficult and it seems like others have an easier road to hoe. That is the time where we need to say, Lord, your will be done, and live out Christianity where my Lord has called me to live it out. I think for most of us, that's where we find it, our cross to carry. It's in the difficult things that life throws at us, the difficult circumstances, whether that's relationships, health difficulties, the things in our life that we feel aren't fair or are difficult. That's where God calls us to surrender to Him and take up our cross, whatever that may be, and be faithful in that. And by that, by denying ourselves and by taking up our cross and accepting what He has for us, that's how we make Him Lord of our life. My second point is Jesus, my helper and friend. A little over a year ago, my wife and I were facing something new. We had a baby on the way. I don't know if any other first-time dads, probably dads and moms, I think they probably face this. There's something a little bit scary about childbirth. For me, it was the thing that there's something out of my control. If there's any place where a man feels out of control, I think that must be that. Because I had to reckon that I was out of control, and I had to fully depend on God for the safety of, you know, my wife, my little child. And some of that was difficult for me. But there was one time we were traveling home in the car, and there was this song that was playing that really ministered to me and my wife in relation to that. The song goes, "Not one sparrow is forgotten. E'en the raven God will feed, and the lily of the valley from His bounty hath its need. Then shall I not trust Thee, Father, in Thy mercy have a share, and through faith and prayer my mother merit Thy protecting care." And that song ministered to my heart, knowing that even if, you know, the worst case scenario would happen, God is still with me. In our fallen world, things still go wrong. We face losses. Things can hurt. And specifically thinking of the experience that I had, I found a sense of God's protection for us. And it turned out well. But sometimes it doesn't actually turn out well. And we face difficulties. And we have losses. Even in those times, Jesus wants to be our helper. He wants to be close to us, and He wants us to depend on Him. Even sometimes, I think sometimes that is the cross that we're called to bear. When we ask God for protection or for, you know, good things to happen in our life and we get bad things, those are the things that God calls us to bear. But in that, He can still be our helper, and He can still be the one we depend on and find grace and strength, knowing that every sparrow God even looks after. As it says in Matthew 10, I'll actually read that, Matthew 10, 29. Why don't we all turn to that? Turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." And I think if we can cultivate that Jesus said that He cares about us, it can make Jesus more real to us through our trials, whatever they may be. My last point, third point, is Jesus, the Savior of the world. This is something that God has been working in my heart. I felt over, well, I guess I'll start back up. Back when I first got born again and, you know, went street witnessing or whatever, I was so excited to tell people about Jesus because He had changed my life. Surely He could change, you know, anybody else's life. But over the years, I've found myself getting discouraged, maybe almost disillusioned, where it seemed that I hardly had the spirit to tell people about Jesus because I was afraid that there wouldn't be any results. Has anyone else ever faced that? But God has been working in my heart, especially with an experience this past week, seeing a young man get born again. God spoke to my heart and told me, I'm still in the business of changing people's lives, and I need to grow in my faith, knowing that Jesus is still the Savior of the world, and He's still out to save people's lives. It's only me that needs to place my faith in that truth. Why don't we turn to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, 18. This is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. He was about 33 years old. And one day he walked into a synagogue and he was giving a passage of scripture to read. And verse 18 he says, he's actually reading something from Isaiah, a prophecy. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And that is what Jesus did. If we read the read through the Gospels, that's exactly what Jesus did while he lived on this earth. And that is still his purpose on this earth. And he's not here anymore, but I am here. And he calls me to be his hands and feet and be the person who preaches. What does it say there? Preach deliverance to the captive. Set liberty them that are bruised. He simply calls us to bear the message of the gospel. And I am challenged in my life to be faithful to that and not to grow discouraged when it seems that so many people don't want the gospel, but to just to continue to share the gospel in faith, because that was what he calls me to do. In conclusion, Jesus wants to be my Lord. Jesus calls me to depend on him. Jesus is the redemption for our world. These are areas I want to grow in, and these are areas I challenge you to grow in.